Good morning. I'm so glad to be here with you all. It's home. Here we are, 2024. First time I've spoken here, you know, this year. One whole month has gone by. My sister and I joked because we like to walk at the Recplex, and this whole, all of January, there were so many cars on the parking lots. So we said, we're glad when all these people that have their resolutions are tired stop coming. So how many people had resolutions or intentions or something like that? I have intentions. I figured out finally, way too late, but I found out when I have a resolution, there's something inside that says, oh yeah, there's resistance. So intention seems to fit better with me. My intention for this year has been, or is, that I want to be the best version of myself that I can be at the end, better than what I am now. I want to be better. And that gives me lots of breath, you know, to try things out and do things. So as I was musing about all change, and because the definition of an insanity is doing the same things in the same way over and over and expecting different results, right? So if you want to, you know, have intentions, or you want to make changes in what you do or how you feel, or you know, any of those things, something has to change. And as I was thinking about changes, mulling over all of this, you know, the thoughts and what ended up here, was three things became apparent to me, and maybe they will to you, but I'll share what I came up with as I was thinking about change. First of all, change is difficult. We're going to talk about each of these. Second, change is constant. And third, change can be a conduit to growth. So those were my takeaways from all this thinking about change. So let's just dive into one of them. So first of all, change is difficult. Now, I will agree that not every change is difficult. If I decide to put the salt and pepper on my food in a different order than usual, that's probably not going to be hard. I can do that. But there are some changes that they're not difficult, but they kind of produce sort of an anxiety, a little bit of tension, because it's different, you know. As I get older, I see that happens more often than it did when I was young. But even going a different way to work or trying a different route, everything's unfamiliar, and so there's just a little bit of discomfort about that. Trying a new food, you know, perhaps. It's not enough to even make a speed bump, you know, in what you want to do. I'll do it, but just recognizing that I might be uncomfortable is a part of it. Then there are those changes that are difficult enough to either drop the thing that you're wanting to change, or at least re-examining. In my case, it was re-examining. Wanting to be a better version of myself, I saw a special on Netflix. It was called You Are What You Eat. I don't know if anybody saw it. Yeah. Marcia and I seem to be on the same track. It was just fascinating because they took, I forgot now how many sets, 21 sets, I think, of identical twins, because the DNA is the same. And so one twin would eat only for like 8 weeks or something, a plant-based diet, and the other twin was on an omnivore diet. And so at the end of the whole thing, I mean, they had lots of information too, which was fascinating, and just learned a lot too. But at the end of it, the twin who had the plant-based food, the studies were significantly better on the tests they did on the bodies and their bodies. They did not die, their bodies. And I thought, well, That's a great idea. I think plant-based is probably the way to go. Okay, so I'm over here eating meat and fish and poultry and dairy. I mean, yeah, I eat everything. Well, not everything, you know, but I mean, you get the idea. I'm omnivore for sure. So I thought, well, maybe if I go vegetarian, you know, that'll be a step in the right direction. Maybe I could go on to vegan later, but started and bought stuff. Now I decided to allow myself to have dairy because protein. And in like 4 days, I had eaten all the things that I've. This is going to be a pretty boring diet if I just stick with these things. So I needed to know more about protein, and in trying to do that, then I started including meat. You know, so my intention, at least, what I discovered, this is really hard. I don't like to cook. You know, I mean, I do, but I don't like it. So for me, experimenting in the kitchen to find ways to put protein together from these, you know, all these things, does not excite me. So I'm going to re-examine how I can be healthier in my diet and prep. Anyway, sometimes people drop things. That part might get dropped. You know, we'll look at something else. But at least I need to re-examine. So you got some that are just mildly uncomfortable, some that are uncomfortable enough to make you either drop it or really seriously look at the change you want to make. And then there are those things that will really, really hard, devastatingly hard. And if you've experienced a loss, a loved one, lost a job, some force of nature, you know, a natural something, a tornado, a house burns down or something, that's devastating. I mean, that the changes that come from that are they're deep and they're hard. Some that are terribly hard are the ones that are unexpected. Big change comes along and you have no idea that it's coming. That can bring you to your knees. And then there are some that they're difficult. Each change in itself may not be all that bad, but the cumulative effect of change. I've had people tell me about breakdowns in their house. You know, maybe the dryer quits working, and then they get a flat tire and have to buy new tires, and then, you know, like two or three or four things, and pretty soon you're saying, "Uncle, I'm done." So that kind of change, all these things hitting and changing all at the same time, can be really difficult. So change is often difficult. It varies in the degree of difficulty. It varies in the length of time that it can take to adjust to the change. But I think most of us can probably agree that change is difficult. Change is constant. There's an old adage that says you can't step into a river, at a particular place, the same place. You can't step into that. It's not, and it's not the same river. Even if you're standing in the same place, you're the same person. You step in, you step out, step back in. It's just a different river. The water has all moved. It's all different water. The water might have shifted some stones. Your body is changing every moment. So it is true. Change is constant. In our bodies, cells are constantly being regenerated. They're dying off. Our skin flakes off. You know, our bodies are changing constantly. So much as we think that it's the same, I have this tendency to think I put it someplace someplace and it's going to be the same always. I may have shown this group. I can't remember. I brought in a tennis racket and I had it for eons, you know, like 30 years or so. And I was surprised when I took the press off. I started unscrewing the press and the screw crumbled. Oh, what is that? Oh yeah, it's about 35 years old. Okay, I understand. So I'm expecting things to be constant, and they're not. Nothing is ever constant. Often we resist, don't we? I mean, I've heard people say, I don't like change. I don't mind change myself. But we have this thing called an ego, and the ego wants us to stay with the status quo. It wants to keep us safe, and so by doing things the same way all the time, there's a better chance, according to the ego, the human side, they're different. Monkey mind is one that the coaching people talked about. Anyway, this ego or monkey mind will start chattering pretty loudly if we try something new, if we're going to change something because, oh my God, she's going to do this and she could get hurt. Well, sometimes you just have to keep going through there. So this resistance, this voice that's going on, sets up kind of a fear, anxiety, and then so we don't want things to change. And the more we listen to that voice, the tighter we want to hold on to whatever it is. So it's not always a good idea. I had a friend, and this is decades ago, but I knew that she had been seeing this guy, and she liked him a lot. And so she called me one day, and it turns out what she had done was she went to his apartment. He wasn't home, so she found a window that was open and went in. I know. She waited for him, and he didn't show up. So she called me, and I went and got her on a bus to go back home. But she was holding on. He didn't want the relationship to be anymore, and she was gripping as tightly as she knew how, even to the point of breaking into his apartment. So sometimes we do, in the relationships we hold on, something that we hold on to people sometimes longer than we need to, all kinds of things that we can. One that is notable for me, because I have been fighting ageism in my own mind. Society, advertisers are all screaming at us that being young is the best thing. You know, being young. Now, if you'll just buy this cream, if you'll buy this lotion, if you'll do this, you know, this and do that, wear this kind of garment, then you'll be attractive and you'll be young. And so it causes me sometimes to hold on to the youth as much as I possibly can. You know, it's just so much. But if change is always constant, and we tend to want to hold on, we don't want to go to the other extreme either, and just something, somebody suggests something and you go, okay, you know, and step into that. That's not necessarily what you want to do either. The advertisers would love it if you do that, but it may not be the best. We need to have discernment. So as these changes are coming through, we need to be able to discern. And I can't think of a better prayer, if you will, to do that than the Serenity Prayer, which goes, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. It's not biblical, but what a wise, wise prayer that is, affirmation. We want to have, there are things we can't change. My friend who broke into the guy's apartment, she has to accept that he doesn't, she did, but you know, you just have to accept some things, you can't change it, including people. And then the courage to change the things that I can, which is also takes some effort, and then finally the wisdom to know the difference. So I think the prayer is a way that we can use, access the wisdom, that innate wisdom that we have, as children of God. Now then we can look at this third premise that I came up with about change is often a conduit to growth. Myrtle Fillmore, our co-founder, and I'm paraphrasing all of this, this is what I remember from what I read, and what she says though is, or said, is that the desires that we experience are divine ideas wanting expression. So when I think about that, my mind wants to argue, but she did clarify that sometimes when you go through the human lens, your own human lens, that can transform. But if you're humanly wanting a Mustang, a red Mustang, the desire is for reliable, safe transportation. So she says that the desires that we have are divine in nature. And she also explains that we feel often this desire feels like a yearning, a hunger. How many of you have gotten to a stage in your life where you think, I need something more? I'm not unhappy, but things are bland. I have been there. You know, it's like a wanting of something. I figured out finally that yearning is for me, and I believe for every person, to have that relationship with that oneness with God. I think that's what the yearning is. But before we recognize what that hunger, that yearning is, we'll know that something isn't what you want it to be. So you might try a new haircut, or you might buy another car, or you might get another house or residence, or you might change a relationship, you know, all trying to satisfy that yearning, that hunger. But as they say, it might satisfy it for a little while, but not long term until you realize that you just really want to be one with God. So this understanding, though, I think that we all have this urge, then we can initiate change. And so we know that change is difficult, change is constant, and we can initiate changes sometimes too as we try to feed that hunger. So it seems to me that we can, when we do that, when we look at both, it will allow us to utilize change in a meaningful way. So we can look at it and then look. So how do we do that? We can evaluate. There's the Serenity Prayer we've already talked about. Another way is that we can evaluate the change that's happening, kind of stepping back and looking at ourselves and looking for something that we might gain. And if it's not readily apparent, something that we can gain from this. Maybe we'll gain some experience. Some of the hardest things I've gone through have created a strength or a talent or a skill or an understanding or a compassion. I have something new that I didn't have, like the song, I have something new that I didn't have before. So we can look and see how we can gain from this. There's a great story about this in the Old Testament. Jacob, as you recall, had 12 sons. Joseph was his youngest, I think, of those 12 sons and his favorite. His brothers were, if you remember, was very jealous of him. And so they sold Joseph to travelers and into slavery. They took Joseph's coat and put an animal's blood on it, took it back to Jacob and said, Joseph was killed, we're so sorry. So here's Joseph going into slavery and he has all these experiences. Someday we'll talk about some of those stories, but he has all these experiences, but each time he was able to use it for something better. Once when he was in prison, prison guard found out that he was good at interpreting dreams, and the pharaoh had been having a dream about cows and, you know, skinny cows and fat cows. See me later for details, if you're interested. And actually, then Joseph came up and said, well, it's meaning that there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, drought. And Pharaoh took his advice and, you know, took advantage of the time to grow extra stuff and store it. And then when the famine hit or the drought hit, they were fine. That was Egypt. Joseph's family were really needing food. So they came to Egypt and they came before Joseph. And they were ashamed and all that and sorry. And he said, what you did, you meant for harm, but God meant it for good. So he had this way of looking at it that allowed him to see things from a very different, a very high perspective. So it is possible to look at some of these changes, even if when they are just difficult, really difficult, and look for those things that you might have gained from it. So it can be a conduit to growth. So I believe that all this now with the change, I believe that we can learn to flow with life. I appreciated that Abina said flow. Things are so much more peaceful when we allow life to just flow and do what we can. But we can eliminate a whole lot of frustration, pain, anger, you know, all those things just by being curious, observing, and going with the flow. And finally, we have an advantage because we're unity people. And so we can utilize what we call our truth, truth with a capital T. We have a power within. We have Eric Butterworth's books, Discover the Power Within. As we are one with the Creator, the Source, with God, whatever name works for you, as we are one with that, we have increased abilities. We have a divine blueprint, a divine identity that is really the truth of us. All this other, the physical, all of this changes and shifts and eventually this all, the outer all dies, you know, it is not eternal. But that divine blueprint, that divine identity is constant. That is a constant spiritually. So that when we have, when we align ourselves with this divine identity and we do affirmations as we do, there's something that resonates in there because it's yes, and your body just sort of lets that in and is reinvigorated, re-energized, renewed, because it is truth and we're hearing it repeatedly. So we can affirm wholeness, we can affirm joy, we can affirm peace, we can affirm love, abundance, all that. And as we take that in, that yearning that we have latches on and finds ways for us to increase whatever that is. So yeah, we're always going to have change in our lives. But just look at how much we can bring that will bring that divine identity more and more into expression. It's a great thing. As we transition into the meditation, let us use the words of our way shower, Master Teacher Jesus, as he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. So together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. invite you, if you are comfortable doing so, to gently close your outer eyes. We take a deep breath. And as we fill our lungs, and then release, doing this a few times will allow our bodies to naturally relax and become still. We are here in a place that is safe. We are surrounded by people who are supporting your spiritual journey. All is well in this moment. We allow our minds, which want to chatter, we allow them to kind of just tune in and focus maybe on your breathing, watching the breath come in, watching it leave. And then we are allowed and aware, able to relax even more completely, our bodies and our minds. As we are in this present moment, and open and willing and receptive, listening, if you will, we are then able to align with that presence, power within us that is the truth of us. That love, this is the month of love. We are love. So in this moment, let us take on that mantle of being love. Being love enables us to look at other human beings and see within them that Christ, no matter how much it is expressing, you know it's in there. And as we look with eyes of love upon all of these people, we allow them to experience that love within themselves. Imagine, if you will, that you're in a boat of some kind, a canoe or a raft or something, and you're not going anywhere, you're just on the body of water, and it is swaying gently. And you are completely relaxed. You're not worried about where you have to be in an hour. You're not thinking about and recreating the conversations you just had. You are present in the moment, on the water, in this vessel. It is soothing, gentle, restorative. As we take the time today and each day to do this form of relaxation and centering, we will find that our changing is happening, and it is evolving. It is moving us toward growth. We are more peaceful. We are more joyful. We are better able to see others as other children of God, not enemies. We are both alone and never alone. We are alone in that we have complete control over our experiences, often our thinking. No one on the outside can make us happy. No thing can make us happy. true happiness. And in that sense, we are alone. But in a very real way, we are never alone. We have that presence. We have that divinity, that God within us, always. And as we relax and allow ourselves to tune into that and rest in that, we have all we need to navigate the rivers of life, to take advantage of the things that we can change, to have the serenity and the peace to just accept those that we can't. We have the best thing that we can have, and that is that experience of oneness with our Creator. This is the desire, this is the yearning, this is what we're here to do and to be. And so we welcome change. We open our minds and our hearts, trusting that we'll have everything we need to get through them, knowing that we'll be better on the other side, and having the strength and the courage to have discernment and wisdom on what is ours to do. Oh, another deep breath. We're grateful. We're grateful for a number of things. We're grateful for this awareness that we have all we need. Anywhere, anytime. Grateful for the knowledge of the truth of who and what we are. Grateful for the teachings of our master teacher so that we can see what we are to do. Grateful for the many, many loves and blessings we have in our lives. And even the simple things like a sunshiny day can bring us great joy. And so we conclude this time of reflection, renewal, peace, with just a moment of silence, and then with gratitude. So just in the silence. Oh, and a deep breath as we say thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.